And don't have you turn to Luke chapter 17. That's where you'll find the information. This parable will be shared in both places. Okay, Luke chapter 17, around 20, starting in 22, Luke chapter 17, 22, in that area. But we're going to focus mostly on Matthew 24 in verse 36. All right, Matthew 24, verse 36. Now, I'm not going to make any promises, but this is not, I don't know about just straight fire, but this is some good stuff for you as a Christian. There's something that's sticking out to me in this. It's really pressing me as far as, because I know this on a Sunday night, I'm not assuming that you're saved. I'm just teaching this in a way that if you are saved and you're born again and you're living for God, that you need to realize there's a coming a place and time that God's coming back. And as Christians, sometimes we lose focus, just the same as the world, right? Let's just get into it, because I'll start preaching and teaching stuff that's right here and it's in the Scripture. So let's just jump in. Matthew 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Is that not really cool that the day of the Lord, when Jesus comes back, it's not going to be known by anybody but Him and His Father, but the Trinity. That's the only one who knows. Go get the bride. That's it. The angels don't know. We definitely don't know. So when you're listening to preachers and teachers and somebody starts telling you, oh, you better get your stuff together because Tuesday, October 28th, you better be ready. The Lord's come back. He told me. Listen, that ain't true. The Lord is not going to come back in that way. Amen. There's been a lot of shysters. There's been a lot of false teachers, a lot of false doctrines who put names and titles of when the Lord's coming back. Here's when the Lord's coming back, when He wants to come back. When everything is settled in heaven to the Father's liking is when He's coming back. When He says, that's enough, I've gave enough grace and enough mercy for everybody. The last person that I needed to hear the gospel heard the gospel. That should excite you as a Christian. That should give you kind of a little a gust of wind in your sails to share the gospel. Because you could be the person who's sharing the gospel with the last person. Well, not here in America, right? The last person that's going to hear the gospel is going to be in China or Russia or in a Muslim country. Not so. And I'll guarantee you this, when we really, really think about it, we need more evangelism in America than we probably do anywhere. We've got enough, I want to say this, we've got inoculation Christianity. Amen? You know what inoculation is, right? Just enough where you don't get the real thing. When you go in and get an inoculation like the flu shot, they give you just enough. My God, I'm trying to keep settled, but think about it. You get just enough that you don't get the real thing. A lot of people go to church, got enough, just enough of it, but they never get the real thing. They can tell you what church they belong to. They can tell you, my name's on the roll and I attend this church, but they can't tell you how Jesus saved them and what's changed since. Amen. And I'm going to tell you right now, I love church. I love church. I've been going to church since I've been saved, but it's because I've been saved that I go to church. I don't think of myself as a like in a church. I believe the whole body of Christ is the church. I'm radical that way. Amen. I really don't believe that one piece of brick or mortar or wood or glass will go to heaven. I don't believe one of it will. Not one piece. But I do believe every believer will. I believe every smidget of every believer will. When I say smidget, it's because some of them were burned. Some of them were drowned. Some of them were ripped to pieces. Amen? And you think, well, they're gone. No, God's got it. He's counting every piece. And when He calls one piece home, it's calling it all home. In a twinkle of an eye, those that are dead in Christ will rise first. Man, I believe they get a 6-foot head start. Phew! Are y'all excited about that day? I really am. I cannot wait until the Lord comes. Listen, when you start reading in the Old Testament, the more you read about it, when you hear that trumpet, so we don't even recognize why trumpets are important. It's a herald of the King coming. Amen. It's a herald. They're saying the King, it's time for you to go out and meet the King. Because he's coming, man. I'm going to tell you right now, we don't even, when that thing sounds off, when that archangel goes out and blows that trumpet, we are gone. And we're going to be standing in the presence of God like that. And we're just going to be standing, and we will be like, oh my gosh, this is actually, have you ever had something on your calendar like a year out? And the next thing you know, you're standing in that moment. Man, I'm telling you, as a preacher, sometimes I'll put somebody say, will you come and do this revival? Will you come and do that? I'm like, yeah, I'll come to that. And me and my wife will talk about it. And we'll say, well, don't worry. That's 7 months from now. It's no big deal. And then you're there. You're like, man, where'd the time go? I mean, that's the way it works. Listen, it's not going to be long, and God will be standing here in the eastern sky, and we'll be called out to meet him. And guess what? In his timing. So we should be out sharing, hey, God's coming. You better be. We should be ready for that. We should be telling people. We should remind ourselves that. That stirs you up too, amen? And that's what Christians need to be. We need to be stirred up. Because if you don't watch it, if you're not stirred up, guess what happens? You begin to settle. All the good stuff goes to the bottom. And it causes you just to sit down. This causes you to sit down and not do anything because all the good. But you know, you get stirred up, it continues you to come up, right? I want God to come back. Amen? Listen, I like when these kids, they go off to a youth trip and get excited. But praise God, why should they have to go anywhere to get excited? I'm serious. I like that. I loved it. I was like, man, this is a great environment. But we should start trying to make that environment happen here. Had me till you said that, brother. I don't care. I want to see people saved. I want to see lives changed. I love it when people go off and get saved. That's great. But I want them to come back here and grow. I hope they don't stagnate. That should get some of our teachers, our youth teachers, fired up and going, hey, wait a minute. I might want to do a little more studying and praying and getting ready because I'm going to have to teach these kids who are now fired up and ready to get God. You just can't come in with something half-baked. Goodness gracious. I didn't know I was going to be preaching to the church tonight. I'd probably wear a little bit thicker armor. Verse 36. But of that day and hour, jump down to verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now I want to reference something over here. You don't have to turn over to Luke chapter 17, but I wanted you to hear some of this. Listen to this. Verse 28. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. Right? You know what all that is? They were always thinking about the future. They were always thinking about the future as it pertained to their lives. Now, don't leave here tonight and say, well, the preacher doesn't want us to make any plans for tomorrow. Amen? He don't want us to build onto our homes. He doesn't want to put any money in the bank. He don't want to sow into our crops. He don't want us to do anything that's gonna. No, what I'm saying is, and what the scripture is saying, don't get so caught up in staying here that you forget that this is our temporary home. Amen. This is our temporary thing. Because what was going on, and I want you to understand this, it references Noah's time, because what they were saying is giving reference. Noah said, God told me to build this ark. Okay, Noah told me, God told me to build this, and I'm building it. I don't know when he wants to close the door. I don't know what he's going to do with this, but he told me to build it, and I assume that if I build it, and when it gets built, he's going to want us to get in it, and he's going to do something else. So you guys, while you're getting married, while you're having a big party, while life's going on, you might want to think about the ark. But see, they were sitting there going, we don't even care about the ark. We don't even care why you're building that. We're not even thinking about what you're doing there. But do you not know this is not this world as you know it is going to end, and you need to make a plan. It's all right to get married. It's all right to have crops. It's all right to love and do all the stuff you're doing. But you better realize that it's more important to get in here than to be out there. Your mind better be on getting in here. Right? Because at any time, if they would have come in there, hey, you know what would have been? Hey, get to work. Grab a hammer. Grab some nails, grab a file, get over there and start working on building this ark, because you know what? You can still be enjoyed. Every one of Noah's children were married, amen? But they had a different plan in life. They were building for God's future, not their own. Are you with me? Are you getting this? Because I want you to hear it. Because listen, as Christians, we do the same thing. We'll get into a rut in Christianity, and we think, well, in 5 years, and in 10 years, and in 20 years, which is great, but then we forget, guess what? God's coming back. Well, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. Well, we're 2,000 years closer. I mean, shouldn't that make you think a little bit? That God kind of works, and if we're way down the road, then we're closer than we've ever been. We need to think about it more and have a little, you know, this is going to happen. Hey, we need to really think about this. Instead of making all, hey, when you're getting married, I'm just going to preach if you don't mind. Hey, while you're getting married, are you saved? Man, we're dating and this thing looks like it's clipping along pretty good, but instead of us just jumping into the marriage, why don't we talk about, do we really love God? What's your thoughts on God? Do you love Him more than you love me? Amen? Because I know if you love Him more than you love me, then you'll probably love me correctly. Because if you don't love God, how are you going to be able to love me? Wouldn't that be a good conversation for somebody? Then there you're thinking about getting married, but you're also thinking about eternity. Because let me tell you something, there's a chance that you get married and that other person's not saved and you want to do great things for God and they don't, they want to watch the game. Man, or they want to do something else. And the rest of your life, listen, I'm preaching, I know it, I teach somebody else's stuff too. So it says you're unequally yoked. You know what that means? One's pulling in one direction, you're trying to pull in the other direction, and guess what? Nothing's getting plowed. Get over here. No, you get over here. I told you I want you over here. Beat some mad mules. Beat some mad oxen. Amen? I wish you'd quit pulling me in that direction. I wish you'd stop pulling me in this direction. Can't you see this good direction? No, we should have got this worked out in the beginning. Amen? Well, the people I work with, the people that I'm planting with, the people I'm sowing with, well, I got a good job. Yeah, but guess what? Eternity's going to happen, and they're going to know, all they're going to remember of you is somebody who worked with them, and they were more worried about making money and making a future, or were you considering their soul at all? Because guess what? It's going to be amazing when eternity clips over that person. Say, hey, you were a Christian, and you asked God all the time, God, show me what you want. God, show me what you want. And God said, hey, I got Ted, who's an agnostic or an atheist, sitting right down there next to you every single day of your life, and you'd rather talk about everything about how bad the work is and listen to his complaints, but you never, ever, ever mention the fact that you're in crazy love with Christ. Because you're radical at church, but you are not radical at work. God's coming. God's coming. Are we still looking at our, well, we got to get that house built. Yeah, but have you talked to anybody who's building the house? You know what? If you pay a contractor or somebody to come up and they show up at your work, you know what? That's an awesome time to talk to somebody about Jesus. Where are they going to go? You made a contract. Hence the word contractor. Amen. That's wonderful. In my case, I'd be like, I have no clue what y'all are doing. But I do know somebody. And Jesus. Man, do you know him? Man. Well, they're roughnecks. They don't want to hear that. I didn't want to hear it when I was a roughneck either. Amen. And if you ever get a chance to witness to some roofers, they need it. sorry. Anybody ever work with roofers? They fight when they pull up, fight on the roof, fight coming down, and fight leaving. They need saved. I just threw some humor in there if y'all didn't know. You'd be mad too if you was up on a hot roof all stinking day. Amen? Anyway, hope I didn't offend no roofers. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, this is verse 38, and marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Did you notice that? Not even Noah. Can I break this down just a little bit further? Noah didn't know. Amen? Noah built the ark. He knew everything about the ark. Amen? But he did not know the day. If you ever get to study that, it's one of the greatest things. God says, come in here. Isn't that cool? Come in here. Are you saying God was in the boat? Yeah. You know what he did? He came in there and God shut the door. Who shut the door? God did. The Noah's Ark is one of the greatest portraits of the coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, or anything that's in the Bible. Amen? Because the whole ark is a wonderful thing, but it's only got one door. Man, go check that place out in Kentucky. You'll be standing there and you're thinking, man, this is huge. One door. One door. You're like, man, this thing is massive. Listen, salvation, heaven's massive. One door. One door. And when it's ready, it says, come in here. Noah didn't have it. Man, this is good. Man, this is good, ain't it? He didn't have a chance. He did not have a chance to go out and tell another soul. When God, hey, come on in. When God says, come on in, you're done. When God calls, we're all shouting, we can't wait till that day. I can't wait till God calls. When we're done, we're done. Amen? And it references in Luke chapter 17, it references Lot, but Lot's wife looked back. Well, shame on her. I wonder. Now listen, don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to be over theological and trying to get over on somebody. I'm just saying I wonder if she was walking out of there and looked back and said, we could have done something else. Man, what a shame. I had a godly husband, but I never told anything. Never shared anything. Man. He looked back and he turned to himself. Man, goodness gracious. How many times have we looked back at some stuff? Man. Stop preaching. Don't preach like that, Kevin. We're all great. We're all spiritual. We're all righteous in here. We're okay. I just ask you one question. How many times have you looked back in your mind? Tripping down memory lane? Should call it falling flat on your face in memory lane. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves what was back there. Amen? Oh, golly, that was so good, man. Yeah, lost my job, lost my life. Oh, yeah, never mind, sorry. Oh, can we handle that kind of reel on Sunday night? I hope so. She looked back, referenced, he didn't get one shot. When God calls us out of this thing, we're done. All right, we're done. I'm thinking about that, and I'm thinking, man, all these people that we're going to talk to, all these people we're going to share with, are we sure that have we sat around the table? Have we sat around the table? And I'm not wearing you out. I'm wearing myself out too. We're about to come up on Thanksgiving. Wouldn't it be great to for somebody to hear how awesome God worked in your life around Thanksgiving table, around Christmas time? You know, y'all really know this? The Feast of Passover was not held at the house of God. It was not held at the temple. You know where it was held at? Home. You know what they said to do? Every year at Passover, get a lamb, right? Prepare it, and have all your descendants, all your children, get around, and you tell them how God brought us out of Egypt. This is what I want you to do. I want you to sit down every year. Kill the lamb. The innocent, tender lamb. Make it with bitter herbs. Golly. Man, this lamb is good, but man, why the bitterness? I'll tell you why the bitterness. The bitterness is somebody had to die. Something innocent that is so sweet and so good and so helpful, yet it had to die that we could go free. Man, I love talking about the Passover. Because, listen, the first Passover, they took that little small lamb, the beautiful one, and they let it in the house. How long do you think that thing was in the house? Some kid didn't have it in their lap. Huh? We're going to name it, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Because as a man, we're strong and we're tough. But don't you name that thing. Because tomorrow, amen? Why don't we just name it? Why don't we just name it? Why don't we just name it Jesus? Why don't we just name it Jesus? It's such a sweet little, it's perfect. This thing's never hurt anybody. This is awesome. I think this is the best thing. Yeah, tomorrow night, its blood will be strewn over all the doorposts. And we're just hoping when the death angel passes by that he'll see the blood and he won't come in here, not because of who we are and what we've done and what we've not done, but because of the blood is still there. Aren't you? Man, I'm still preaching. Ain't that awesome? He didn't say how great the people were that were in Israel and Egypt. He didn't say, he said, my people, all you got to do is put the blood on the door. If the blood's on the door, I don't care if you're good, bad, or indifferent. If the blood's there, I'm passing by. God, people, you need to work. You need to do better. You need to make this. You need to do that. Listen, the blood's applied. And when God comes by me on Judgment Day, I'm just going to be sitting there going, look at the blood. Please just look at the blood. Because if you look at me, you're going to see awful, awful mess that I am. Amen? Isn't that crazy good? Sitting around me, do this every generation. Hey, Dad, how'd you get out of Egypt? Let me tell you. You took a sacrifice of a lamb. There was some bitterness in it. And it's good. Amen? Can I ask you this? Have you ever told your family, your testimony, especially your kids, have you ever told them? I mean, straight up just told them how you got it, how you figured it, how Jesus got a hold of you. Have you ever told them and said, listen, you know what? Kids got an amazing way about them, don't they? They can tune you out and tune you in, and at the same time, you think they're not listening to the thing you say, and then 5 or 6 years later, they'll repeat something you said. You're like, going, I don't even think you was listening. They'll listen if you'll tell them. Amen. Y'all good? Y'all still with me? All right, I got 3 of you. Good. The rest of you just got to bear through. Bear through. Verse 39, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two. Let's get that verse 39. Can I say, I want to go right back there one more time. And they knew not until the flood came. Amen. I know how preaching goes sometimes, and I know how this people will take you. Oh, I've heard from you. Listen, I bet they heard it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. But listen, he built this ark on the top of a mountain where there was no body of water, and it had never rained before, ever. He looked like a fool. That's what it's called being a fool for Christ or being a fool for God, because you're telling somebody something that seems so unrealistic and it can't be believed, yet it's absolutely true. Amen? So he keeps preaching about this rain that's coming. One day it's going to rain, and they're like, are you crazy? We don't even know what that is. And even if it did rain, we're on the top of this mountain. Kind of relevant, ain't it? We're on top of a mountain. We're safe. Right? You can get some safe places in America and think you're really safe, and yet you're not really safe at all. Amen? But all of a sudden he's like, we're safe, we're up here. And guess what? When the flood started coming, I wonder what they thought when the rain started hitting their skin. What is this? It's kind of raining down on us. They might have had celebrations for the first few, 3 or 4 hours. They might have had weddings in the rain. Oh, look, man, this is amazing. I bet there's, man, look at our crops. We're going to be great. We're going to have water. This is awesome. We don't got to go down into the valley and find water all the time. This is going to be awesome. And I wonder the first person that said, you know what? You know what? That crazy preacher, man. The guy who's building the boat. You mean that ark? Yeah, the other day I started seeing animals going there, one right after the other, two by two. It was crazy. Cool. I just like to talk about stuff like that because it's cool. But have you ever thought about this? They're sitting there going, wait a minute, you know what? Maybe we should go up there. Maybe we should go up to the house. Maybe we should go up to the building because guess what? Maybe this guy was on to something. They go up there and they can't get in. I guarantee you, when the second coming of Christ happens, there's going to be people come to church and the church ain't going to be here. And man, we ain't going to be here. The door's already closed. I kept thinking, man, that rain is coming down. But guess what? One day, we've been preaching about a trumpet's going to blow. And guess what? We don't know how that is. We don't even understand that concept. But when the trumpet blows, we're going to be like, well, there's going to be some people. Wait a minute. Maybe that old guy was on, maybe those preachers were on or something. Maybe those Christians were telling the truth. Man, is that not going to be cool? I don't know if y'all like this kind of stuff, but I love it. Man, let's get into the next one. Y'all ain't going to believe me until I read it. I'll read it. This is the whole part. This is the only reason I preach this tonight. This is what God really wanted me to tell you tonight. Okay? Verse 40. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill and the one shall be taken and the other left. Y'all good? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. This is what I was preaching about earlier. Guess what? This is really going to happen. This is red letter stuff. Get in your Bible, look. If you've got a red letter edition Bible, this is Jesus speaking. Guess what? One day, people are going to start disappearing. And guess what? Relationships are going to be ended. Deep, long, loving relationships. If you don't believe me, in Luke it says two will be in a bed. One will be gone and one will stay. And this relationship right here, you need to start doing one thing. You need to start telling some people in this really deep relationship that God's allowed you to have about Jesus. And I'm not talking, listen, I'm telling you this. If you love this person, you like these people, you enjoy them, you need to tell them with a passion and a love and a concern with their heart, not with one of condemnation because you know that's coming. I'm thinking about you. You might think I'm crazy, but there's going to be a day, if we wait too long, I'm going to be out of this world, but if the Lord comes back, I'm going to be gone, and you're still going to be here. And I'm tired of drinking coffee with you and not knowing what you're saying. I'm tired of shopping with you and not knowing what you're saying. I'm tired of coming every Thanksgiving and every Christmas and not knowing that you're saved. Tired of it. I'm tired of working down here at this plant with you for 25 years and not knowing whether you're saved or not. We want God to give us a ministry and we won't even minister to the people we walk and work by all.
Well, I don't want them to hate
me. They're going to hate you big time. Y'all get that? I'm serious. It's burning me up because I know how I think sometimes. Well, I've got plenty of time. Maybe tomorrow, next week, there's this really special event coming. What if that event never happens? What if it's your mom? What if it's your dad? What if it's your husband? What if it's your brother? What if it's your sister? What if it's your neighbor that they've seen you go out and in 1,000 times? Heavy for Sunday night? Do we need this kind of heavy on something? We need this. Because what do we do sometimes? We get to projecting down the wall. We're saved as can be. Some of us in this room saved. We're ready to go to heaven. And we're looking, well, maybe, you know, we've got plenty of time. Building on the church. Going to do this. Yeah, we're going to do all that stuff. But we better have a mission oriented that we're worried about the second coming of Christ. Because the day we lay one thing on that new building, the church might be gone. What good was it if we're not prepared for that? Preparing people for that. Amen? We're ready in here. We're not going to let people come in here. We're not looking to the future. We're looking right now. You can move over there with us, saved as you can be. Got it? It's good? All right, let's finish up. 43 and 44. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Verse 44, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That verse 44 is a monster. It is a monster. It's so heavy, it's so real, and so rich, because you know what? I'm guilty of that right there a lot. Ain't going to happen tomorrow. It couldn't happen then, so guess what? You're more in danger of it happening, because what did you say? It ain't going to happen. Now, couldn't happen now. When people are saying it couldn't happen, it's going to happen. Amen? We're all going to be standing there. As children of God, we're going to have to give an account. We can't give an account for sin. We can't give an account for sin. We're covered in righteousness. God can't look at you and say, this is your sin, and you're going to be punished for it. If we're going to be punished for our sin, right? The only thing He can show us, the only thing that we can stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that the Bema seat, the only thing it's shown is where we didn't do the work of God. This is for you to do. Amen? That'll be heavy. What do you think that He's going to wipe the tears away? He'll wipe away the tears. What? Why would He wipe the tears? What tears would He wipe away? You're not going to be sorrowful over your sin. You're not going to be sorrowful that you're saved. You're going to be brokenhearted. Oh, man, I'm preaching. I don't know if you're going to get this. You're going to be brokenhearted over some of the stuff that you wasted time over and worked in your mind. I mean, man, I'm going to preach right here to myself. Stuff that I worked over in my mind when I could have been thinking about Christ. When I could have been preparing a message, where I could have been writing, getting in the Word and getting closer to God, but instead, I was thinking about somebody and being bitter and angry and aggravated. Can I open the altar now? That's where we're at. If the church is not concerned with the second coming of Christ, let me ask you a question. Who's going to be? If we're not concerned, who's going to be? If we're not thinking it's going to happen, and we got plenty of time, and no worry, not a big deal, don't worry about it, then who's going to be? What are we doing? Man, do I want to do great things in ministry? Do I want to do great things in this church? Do I want to see things happen in this church that blows people away? Absolutely. Every single day I get up, I'm on a mission. But guess what? My biggest mission is growing the kingdom of God first. It won't matter. We got a great church and nobody's going there. Man, let's focus. This whole tonight, just get your focus. Hey, we're going to do some great things, but you know what? We need to see people saved. Lives changed. Every nail, every penny, every dime, everything we do has got to be way. This is kingdom. We got to do some kingdom work. Let's all stand as they come get a phone invitation. Maybe tonight this has been a focusing for you.